You are listening to Yoga Boss, episode 194.
Welcome to the Yoga Boss podcast. Do you feel like you were meant to have a successful career in the yoga industry? Like you got into this industry to truly help your students, but you're struggling to actually make money? Or you know that marketing your business is essential, but don't know how to make it intentional and effective for you? Maybe you have already had some success, but you're ready to scale to multiple six figures. Building a profitable yoga business is less complicated and easier than you know. It takes business strategy and a yoga boss mindset. When you are ready to work on your business instead of in it, this is the podcast for you. Now your host, Jackie Murphy, the business coach just for yoga teachers.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Yoga Boss. I am Jackie Murphy. Are you ready to take your passion, your love for yoga, and serve more students? I know that you are. That is why we get into teaching yoga. All of us have a story about how yoga found us, how it impacted our lives, why we decided to take teacher training, and why we decided to teach. For me personally, I started having panic attacks when I was around 13 years old. And at that time, I was searching for anything that would help. And I found yoga when I was around 15 years old. And that was it. I remember the first class having a moment of pure peace and stillness, the feeling that so many of us have felt laying on our mats, the feeling of coming home to yourself, of being connected, whole, complete, and loved. And that was my start of my love for yoga. Now, between then and where I am today, I have done a lot of learning. I have done a lot of failing and struggling to take this thing that I was so passionate about and make it profitable and turn it into a career. So I have now decided that I want to help yoga teachers and studio owners skip all the hard stuff that I went through. You don't have to learn the lessons the hard way. You can take what took me over a decade, what took me many losses and hard lessons, and just skip over that. Take the wins, learn from what happened to me. And I am going to be teaching a class for those of you who want to take their passion and turn it into profit on November 6th. You can sign up for this class right now. The link will be in the bio of this show. It is called Passion to Profit: How to Build a Heart-Centered Yoga Business. Now, if you can't make the class live, that's okay. There will be a replay for a limited amount of time. You can head over to theyogabossgroup.com/passion and make sure that you sign up for this class. Additionally, my friends, you want to be at this masterclass because this is where I will be announcing all of the details for the new course and membership that is going to be your sanctuary for growing a profitable and sustainable yoga business. The place that you can turn to get support and answers and community and learn how to really step into the mindset of a business owner. Listen, we all start with passion, and most of us don't start with any business experience. And you want to teach more students, you want to serve more people with yoga, but you have to learn the business tools that are going to make that possible. So head over to theyogabossgroup.com/passion, sign up for the masterclass, the Passion to Profit Masterclass, and I will see you there. In the meantime, my friends, enjoy this client interview. I know that you will learn so much from Heather. You'll hear about her passionate experience with yoga and why she decided to open a studio and what she is doing with her studio now. All right, my friends, enjoy the episode. All right, my friends, welcome back to the Yoga Boss podcast. I am Jackie Murphy, and today I have a client interview for you all. And these client interviews, out of all the podcasts that I put out, are always the most downloaded. People love to hear the real life humans who are building real life businesses. And so today we have Heather here from We Be Yoga. She runs a yoga studio and she is going to share a little bit about her journey. But Heather, first, just hi, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. So exciting.
I am so excited to have you. Tell everyone a little bit about, let's start with where you are and how you, such a big question. How you got to where you are? How did you find yoga?
Yeah, totally. I've been a practitioner for a long time, probably coming up on 20 years. I'm still very young though, in case anybody was wondering. And
we started when you were one. You're around 20.
Right, yeah. Right out of the womb. And so I would like lean into the practice, I think, anytime I was struggling. And today I'm a sober woman. And I started practicing a lot more like when I was trying to get sober, to be honest, when I was trying to not drink. And the thing is it didn't work, right? Yeah. So the yoga practice suffered just like everything else in life. And eventually I did get sober. And when I was about 6 months sober, there was a yoga teacher. Her name is Linda Good, and she is an incredible human being. She was a yoga teacher when I got sober at the treatment facility I was at. And she just really took me under her wing and took care of me. And she would come and teach yoga. I'll never forget. There was a day we were outside. It must have been like a fall, crisp day. And she went to do a Shavasana press on me, and she had lavender on her hands. Mm. And right as she put her hands on me, this makes me want to cry. The wind blew and I could smell it. And I knew, I was like, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And I can help other people.
I have like goosebumps from head to toe.
Yeah, right. I knew. And she got me into yoga teacher training, like helped me get into a school called Blue Banyan, which is in Mount Airy, Philadelphia, with a woman named Sophie Simpson. And they were not like they didn't want me, but they knew that yoga teacher training was a lot. It was a 9-month program. It was really intense. And I was really early in sobriety. And of course I was like, I must complete, you know, there's nothing stopping me. And, cut to like 3.5 years later, I opened a studio. I pretty much taught full time, like not full time, but I started teaching a lot, like right from the jump. I really loved it. And it was such a tool in my sobriety. Like it complemented like the 12-step program that I'm involved in. And it just like, I don't know, it built me back up and helped me like become a whole version of myself again. And so like, I knew that it was something that I like needed to share with people in order to like help them feel better as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. So that, yeah.
There's so many questions from there. So right? I want to start with like, this is not related to your business and we'll get to your business, but how yoga support you in the 12 steps? Like what did it add in your journey to recovery?
Oh, what a question. and it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I think about this all the time because like I'm like totally outing myself, right? But the spiritual principles of Alcoholics Anonymous are the same as the spiritual principles in yoga, mm-hmm. right? Honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, right? Like taking inventory of yourself. And yeah.
It's literally like, the niyamas.
And the niyamas. Yeah. Aside from the yoga studio, I teach part-time at a recovery center, and it's like very much intertwined. And like, we'll talk about like the principles of yoga, and it's like, okay, well, where do you also see this? Mm. Oh, like in my actual program of recovery. And
wow.
Like being vulnerable, looking at your shortcomings, and that mm-hmm. shows up in my practice, you know, in your practice all the time when you can, or something's available to you or not asana wise, or like, what does your mind look like when you're sitting in your seat? And like, that's just the same as when you're in recovery. Mm-hmm. Like, how am I showing up in the final, like the finer details of my life? And like, can I be accepting and like move forward?
Wow.
I mean, there's so, I could go on.
Yeah.
This could be
the whole podcast. Yeah. We'll have you come back.
And, right. And also just like, I mean, the practice helps you get quiet and helps you look at yourself and helps you like see yourself clearly with so much love. It helps me, it's helped me like slow down to like be able to look at myself when I go to do that work in AA, which is, and that work is serious, you know, not that yoga, you know, they both have their own, but it's just so similar. It's the same thing, you know,
the same.
They parallel each other in every way. And like the, not to be like too much, right? But like once you go through the steps in any 12-step program, like the goal is having had a spiritual experience, like you carry the message to other people that suffer.
Mm.
Right. So, I mean, that's what yoga is.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff.
Oh, it really is. I imagine too, from what I know about addiction, it's so mental that just getting into your body, like the actual physical asana of like, let me feel the feelings that I haven't been feeling. And like, how do I do that? Is there, and I don't know much about this, is there a like well-known program that really has infused yoga and addiction? Like, is there an online, is someone doing that?
I mean, there's so many things that like, that have pop up, like yoga for recovery. I mean, there's some Roots to Rise. There are, I mean, there's astronomical. Yeah. There's yoga programs that like go in prisons. There's, I mean, it's, there's like 12 step recovery yoga.
Mm-hmm.
There's endless amounts.
Yeah. Good. That makes me happy.
Yeah, so totally. Yeah.
My next thought, and this is more business oriented, but as you're talking, your passion for how much this practice has transformed your life is very clear. Mm-hmm. And you want to share that with other people. Like that's where most yoga teachers start, right? Like this thing that I love that's really helped me. For me, it wasn't alcoholism. It was anxiety that got me into yoga, right? It was panic attacks. So like, I'm like, okay, well, let me go help other people who have the same experience. Mm-hmm. That intention is so pure and so heartfelt. How did you connect that in like business? Because when you think about like marketing and selling, like that doesn't have the same like vibe behind it. But I see it as the only way that you could actually reach more people. Does that make sense? So my question for you, to be more clear, is like when you thought about opening the studio and you knew all of this stuff, or maybe you didn't know all the stuff that came with running a studio, did it still feel as passionate as it once did when you first decided to teach?
Yeah. Wow. That's a great question. So it still feels that passionate today. But, did that like, that has changed, like that has fluctuated and changed over time. And when I opened the studio, I was thinking about this before, like sort of, like thinking about how we were going to do this podcast. And I think when I opened my studio, it was really similar to when I got sober. It was a thing that I knew that I had to do.
Yeah.
And I had absolutely no fucking clue what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like knew it had to be done. Right. So it just, I knew like no idea what I was doing. I didn't know any of the businessy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I basically found a place. And there wasn't, honestly, like looking back, I'm like, wow, like I just did it and didn't really think it through. I found the place and was like, instead of making a plan, it was like a plan around already finding a space and paying rent and all that. I also had not lived in this area for very long. Like I wasn't
I
was a teacher in Philly and then I moved sort of out to the suburbs and I didn't have like this big following, but I did know, a lot of the people in the area, honestly, because I am in recovery. So that was helpful. And so it was just like a lot of throwing spaghetti at the walls and like having flailing, right? Like, and that's what sobriety was like too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So somebody said to me recently, like, as I was kind of telling this the story before, like, I was always focused before on being a really good yoga teacher.
Yeah.
And I never, like, made the decision to be a really good CEO, mm-hmm. like a really good business owner. And I think at some point I started to realize that, right? Because initially, like, it was, things were moving, things were good. And then as you grow, you start running into all kinds of problems and you think, oh, I'll just throw another solution at the wall. And really that, like, wasn't the answer. I was just creating more of a mess. Mm-hmm. And so, and I also was very clear on something else. And that was that I wanted to make money and I don't feel
weird,
like, ashamed
it.
Or weird about that. Right. Yeah. Like, I like talking about money. I like numbers, but I never really, like, connected those things. And, I would drive to Princeton Detox Center, where I would teach part-time, like, to help pay my payroll and pay the rent. And I would listen. I started listening to your podcast, like,
I love it.
Like an obsessive, like, obsessively, right? Because that's what I kind of do best. And I was like, this lady knows everything that I don't know, you know?
About business, and, but not about life. Yeah,
but for real, that's how I felt. And, like, I liked, and actually it wasn't even a knowing that you knew things I didn't, but you were talking and addressing problems that I wasn't even aware that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with you putting things on sale, like the idea of, like, knock it off, like, stand in your offer, get clear on your, like, stuff like that. And I was like, wow, I don't
know. You're talking about, like, a discount, like a flash sale.
Yeah. I just started picking up these tidbits, like, are you clear on what it is that you offer? And mm-hmm. it sort of started from there. And I realized, like, wow, I really have absolutely, like, no structure to what I'm doing whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I started to get really interested in, there was a shift. Like, I started getting really interested in business.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as you sort of discussed, there's, like, a lot of really old school ideas out there that just don't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was practicing all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
give an example. It'll be helpful for people.
Yeah, totally. Underpricing.
Yeah.
And then being like really terrified of standing in, like, a really solid price that you felt good about. Is it too much? Or, like, running, like, flash sales.
Yeah.
My biggest one was, like, oh, we offer Sculpt and Vinyasa 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And restorative and yin. And if you want to come have a dance party, we'll do that too. And
literally anything.
Yeah. Do you want oils? We'll find them. I'll find them for you. And then you can buy a 4, 12, 10, 11, 12, 17, 85 class pack or all these things. Uh-huh. And that's what it looked like, right? And this idea started clicking in my head, like, oh, if I'm selling to everyone and selling everything, I'm selling to no one and offering nothing.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's just repeat it for everyone. If I'm selling to everyone and selling everything, mm-hmm. I'm actually going to teach no one, right? Like,
yeah. And sell nothing.
That's what it boils down to. Yeah. Right. And make no money. And I think it's, the only reason that we, like, do all the things for everyone is because it's coming from the mindset of, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what's going to work. So I'm just going to throw the spaghetti and see what works. And there's no clear evaluation typically of that. And there's no clear, like, now I know what works. Let me go do more of it. Like, after I've tried these things, it's not bad to try new things or to change your price or add a class back, but you have to evaluate it and then move forward. So I love that I was on this drive with you. Like, that's
every day. It was so great.
Cause the people, the podcast that I listen to, I'm like, we're friends. Like, that's my good friend.
I was starstruck when I saw you the first time. I was like, she's real.
She's not just a voice in my head.
The first group I was in, when I could talk back at you, I was so confused.
Okay. So let's talk about that, because you were someone who most people who, like, I tend to say this, the lurkers always buy, and it's people who, like, I have no idea that they exist, but they're listening, watching, engaging. And you were a lurker for a while.
Well, like a year and a half.
A year and a half. And then you weren't. And then you were like, hello, I'm here and I'm at this training and I'm emailing you. So what was the change there? Like, when did you go from just listening to the podcast to engaging to like, I know I'm going to work with you?
So I figured out what the price, like somehow I figured out what the price was for the coaching.
Good.
But what?
I probably put it on the website. So that was
helpful. I looked up when I say I figured it out, it wasn't like it was.
But it wasn't on there for a while, which is a strategy and that I don't do anymore.
Yeah. I scrolled to the bottom of the website and I looked. And at the time, like I just needed to know what the number was.
Yeah.
So that I could like oscillate in my brain for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, this is what you said. I'll never forget it. You said, if you can find the money to do it, then you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's available for you and you can figure it out, then go figure it out. And I was like, yeah. She's obviously talking directly to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at the time,
I didn't know it, but.
Right. You were. And mm-hmm. at the time I had like implemented all these things into my business already mm-hmm. that you offered for free on your podcast mm-hmm. and they all work.
Yeah.
Right. So like I knew I just needed that last like little bit of like invest in yourself. And I was hearing you say it, but that time I really heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, I mean, I literally got off of like whatever I was listening to or
mm-hmm.
it was some webinar.
It was a webinar you did.
Yeah. And I jumped on the chat and I was like, I love you so much. You helped change my life. It's true though, you know? And yeah, that's what shifted for me. I was like, yeah, you can figure it out. Like you always do. So do this.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting, specifically with studio owners. I mean, I see this come up with everyone. Investing in your business feels scary because you are mm-hmm. kind of like saying, okay, I'm going to buy in on this thing that I think is going to work out, but I don't have the evidence yet. For studio owners specifically, it's a lot of the times I hear like, I can't add that other expense. I'm already paying for the rent. I'm paying for my mm-hmm. teachers. I'm paying to like redo the ceiling or the floors or repaint or like whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Buy a new water fountain. How did you go about choosing to invest in business coaching when you already had all those expenses?
Well, one of the things that was really great was that you had the payment plan. Like it might've been a little bit more money, but it was 100% worth it for me because mm-hmm. I knew I could swing that monthly payment.
Yeah.
And like, if I had to go to like Chipotle a couple more mm-hmm. times less a week, no judgment here. Oh God, it's so great. It's across the street from my house. It's a problem.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah. Right. Or I had to like teach an extra class so that payroll was, you know, like I just knew that.
So the mindset of I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us like when you opened the studio, you had a community, how did you grow? How did you start your studio? It's such a broad question.
I know, right?
How did you get students in the door?
Oh, like so many things. So social media,
mm-hmm.
Telling every single person that I came across, like handing out, I mean, it was real grassroots at first, right? I spent a lot of money on Facebook ads that I don't even know if they worked or not.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. I would love to look at those ads now. And see
Right. The big thing that also a lot of people would tell me social media was that's where they were seeing me. A really big thing that worked for me was Facebook groups,
mm-hmm.
like posting in Facebook groups, people be just like continually trying to generate awareness that we were even here.
Yeah.
And then honestly, I'm on a big main road and I hung up
a big sign.
Massive,
yeah,
like big banner signs, and all it says in black and white is "We Be Yoga" across the side of the building, like almost like I'm an old school Bikram studio. It looks mm-hmm, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. But that is so important, and I think it's one of those most simple things that sometimes business owners forget. Your signage matters. Like, put signs where people are looking. Big signs. If you have a studio in a sharp shopping center that you have to like turn in to see that you're there, put a sign on the road. put a sign on the closest highway. Like,
big time. That
signage is no small thing at all.
Yeah. It's like 16 feet long. It's huge.
Yeah. That's perfect. So grassroots, a lot of Facebook groups, community, inviting, signage. Mm-hmm. When you decided to join the group, the Yoga Boss group for the first time, what was your intention? Where was your studio when you were joining, and where did you want to go?
Well, I'm not sure if you still do this or not, but I kept hearing the like 100K thing. Yeah. Like it was like, you can make 100K. You can make 100K.
You can.
By the way, I did.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows. Yeah. I actually like was looking the other day and it was like the number in Stripe, like of whatever it changed, it was like 100.3K.
Oh my God, send me a screenshot. That's so amazing.
I will. Yeah. I like got a little teary eyed.
Yeah.
I saw it,
so you saw the goal of I could make $100,000.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
In my head, I was like more, you know, but that's where I was like, yeah, I'm going to do
first
that.
Thing.
You know,
it is alarming how many yoga businesses don't hit six figures. And we think it's normal.
And it's not. And it's honestly, not. It's not. But when I came in, I was making maybe like $2,000 to $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, I was hitting like 6 to 8 on a regular basis. There was months with 10. Yeah. I mean, it happened pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you did one round, right? And then it was shut down. Yeah.
So 6 months.
So in six months. Yeah.
Yeah.
6 months, mm-hmm. you went from 2K to 6, 8, 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Quickly.
Okay. So people are listening and they're like, well, tell us, how did you do it?
Right.
What did you do?
Well, you like, we cleaned house.
Yeah.
You know, we got really, it's funny. I'm still getting like more and more and more clear about what I'm offering. And the mm-hmm. clearer I get and the less I offer, the more people show up. And it's so scary. It's such a scary process. But
why do you think that is? Because you're talking about niching, essentially, like being more clear on who you serve and how you help them and what you offer. And people hate to niche. We just hate it. But like my niche is why I'm successful.
Huh?
Hands down. If I was just like business coach Jackie, people would be like, who is that girl?
Yeah. It's like business. Yeah. Who cares? Who cares when she's coaching?
She's in yoga pants. She doesn't know business. Like,
right.
What's happening?
Totally. Yeah. So if you think about it, like when we, like, if I'm going to hit the Google machine, I'm looking for something like really specific.
Yeah.
Hot vinyasa. Yoga, like level 2, you know, I'm not like, hey, Google, find me a general yoga class. I don't care what kind. And then take me there.
Could be a workout, could be meditation, could be hot yoga.
I'm in for whatever.
Sounds could be good. Naked yoga. Who knows?
No, maybe that's some goats. Gross. Yeah.
Okay. So that's consumer behavior. And that's new as like technology gets smarter and smarter, we do only buy specific. We buy what is for us specifically because we can.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So why not? So yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I actually, sorry, go ahead.
No. I want to hear.
I actually just took off I took off some of my sculpt classes. Like I've really pared down to just like, Vinny 1 and 2, you know, and I'm going to, cause somebody really wise taught me some strategy stuff. I'm going to get like very, very clear on like, this is what we're good at. My new tagline is just like, we teach really, really good vinyasa yoga.
Oh my God. So good. And I want to go because I love really good vinyasa yoga.
And then we'll see like what happens. And then I may strategically like offer a sculpt program. I don't know when the New Year's resolutions come or like that'll be something that may come back. We'll see.
I think it's perfect because
it's very interesting. And then they show up.
Yeah.
The right
people. Your foundation, you know, it's going to be really good vinyasa yoga, and then you can add sculpt, but you can't create two foundations at the same time. You can't both be the best sculpt studio in town and also the best vinyasa studio in town.
Yep.
And so it's like, choose what you want to be known for.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people come and they take a kick-ass sculpt class, they're gonna be like surprised and delighted and so happy that you have this other thing.
Yeah,
but they're already happy because they're getting the really good service in the first place.
And then
I love it.
Right. And like build, like once it's there, like see what they want. Do they even want the sculpt? You know, like, so, and I learned that from you, and there was no, like, I mean, that was really life-changing. The other big thing was you just keeping me exactly what we're talking about now, keeping me organized on this single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you're going to focus on just this until this date.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
But
and
you,
anything
you
else
wanted
that gets
to do
in the way, you're going to ignore and put on your later to-do list.
A retreat,
you know?
A teacher training. Mm-hmm. What else was there? There was like other stuff. You would come to a call and be like, I'm going to do that. I'd be like, no, yeah. No.
Right. No, you're not. I'm like, I'm also going to go to the moon on Tuesday.
And be back to teach on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's very common. I think most yoga teachers are creative individuals. And so the way that people will say it to me is like, well, I'm multi-passionate. I'm so creative. I have to do all these things. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, if you're a human, you're born to create. You're born to be creative. All of us are that way. Some more than others, obviously. Some more tapped in than others, I would say. But it's like, how do you harness your creativity in order to strategically build a business? Because I'm not saying don't ever do a teacher training or don't ever lead a retreat. I'm just saying, wait a second. Let's look at your plan and see, like, is your foundational offer making the revenue you want it to before you go and like look at something else? Because as soon as you pivot your focus, your drishti, to something new, is this
all
other
the energy goes
in
somewhere
stone?
Else?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that was huge for me. I mean, that's affected my whole life.
Yeah. 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 I hear that a lot. I hear like, you've come in and you've taught me business, but it's actually changed a lot of my like life as well. Do you want to share anything personal that changed? You don't have to.
I mean, just like the general fact that it's like that idea that we focus on all of these things at the same time and then wonder like the thing that we really want, the real goal, like the thing that we actually want, whether it's like better finances, showing up better in our relationships. I'm like kind of drawing a blank, but then we don't get
so.
Yeah, no, it's cool. But then we like don't get those. We don't get those results because I'm focused on like, everything else.
Yeah,
you know. And it made me realize how I'm like I bounce around all the time. Oh, I'm gonna do this somatic hip. Mm-hmm. Exercise at program for 30 days. And then I'm going to go like deadlift in the gym. And then I'm going to, you know, like a lot of my life looks like that sometimes where I'm like, this is the next thing. This is the next thing. This is the next thing. Instead of like just focusing on the one thing that you want for a period of time and then evaluating the result and then making your next move from that place.
Yeah.
Rather than the grabbing and the reaching and the, you know, and like instead of the one thing that you want, you get a whole lot of nothing in each place.
Mm-hmm. What I hear you talking about, and I haven't thought about this in a long time, so I need to brush up on my yamas and niyamas. But what I hear is you talking about tapas, like this inner fire of like discipline of letting it burn, letting it be uncomfortable and like staying with it. And I think when you in business bounce around new offer, new thing that I want to create, or it's like consistency in your class and your delivery changes. Like one week it's your class feels like this and the next week it feels like this. Like that is what stops you from building a sustainable long-term business. So it's like, can you have the discipline to sit in the fire of wanting to do something new quicker, but not? Can you stay in the pose essentially and breathe?
Yeah.
And then when it's time to move to the next pose, first of all, you know, it's graceful. You can do it with your breath. Like it's time to build strategically in your business. That will be very obvious versus
100%.
The like jumping.
Yeah. So, and then when you sit and wait, like there's like what's actually working becomes obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I wanted to have this hot studio filled like in my mind. I mean, this is going to sound however it is, but it was going to be a studio filled with like people that were like, I'm not like an advanced practitioner, but I have a solid yoga practice and I have for a long time. Right. Mm-hmm. But in reality, that's not what was like really popular at my, at the studio. Like it's a lot more, mm-hmm. the level one classes are bumping. Mm-hmm. And I would resist that. And I would put my energy towards trying to sell sculpt or whatever.
Yeah.
And it, I'm like, why, what's happening? Why isn't it working?
Yeah. Why don't they want what I want them to want?
Want. Yeah. So much. I had to get out of the way. I'm like, every class should be 75 minutes. People are like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
people are like, can I do 45?
It's 6 a.m. and I want to be in and out. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, I couldn't see that without like paring everything down, getting really simple, getting really clear.
Yes.
And yeah.
Okay. I want to say this. What you're saying is that you observed the marketplace mm-hmm. and gave them a solution to mm-hmm. things they were looking for. Mm-hmm. That's very different for anyone who's listening than surveying your people about what they think they want. Mm-hmm. Like that's not what you did. I mean, you might've talked to your people, but you weren't like, let me go ask Susie when I should have class. Like, no.
Yeah.
Let's look at the numbers and observe what's working and what people want and how I can help them.
Yep.
And give them what they want. It's so important, but that's it's evaluating mm-hmm. like what's in front of you.
Yeah. And also like, I think it ties in with like doing more of the, like having that time and then doing more of the thing that's working mm-hmm. than pushing harder to sell the people that it's never going to work for.
Mm.
Like directing, that's a lot. No, you're going to love yoga. Or like, mm-hmm. you know, like I did a lot of like selling to my hardest client.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a shift too.
Yeah. Like you should love Sculpt. Sculpt is awesome. But like really, they just want to learn how to do chaturanga.
They just does really warrior one, you know, like let's just figure it out.
Let's just get there. But I've also seen every time I opened a studio, I found that like, it's always beginners. Anytime you open, like you'll have some people who have a practice and come, but typically it's like beginners. And then the studio evolves. And like one day you are going to have all of these like, quote unquote, more advanced practitioners.
Right. Right.
But it's like, you have to start, you have to meet your people where they are mm-hmm. and then serve them and grow. So
it's
one of the
so
things I wanted to touch on, and we'll start to kind of wrap up, but I remember specifically, I don't know when it was, but you were like, oh yeah, Jackie, by the way, I have a list of like 400 people who have like signed up for an intro offer, but haven't come in. Like, what do I do? First of all, having that amount of people who are interested in your offer and like saying, I want this is amazing. Like that's awesome. Yeah. So I want to hear about how you created those people. And then what did you do?
Yeah. So I actually looked at this the other day. There's over 850 like people that have subscribed and I've never seen them. So if you're listening,
come to the studio.
I'm going to Weeby Yoga in Warrington. So I did that a lot at first by sign up for the mailing list and we'll send you a free class, like your first class free. That was how I generated a ton of that kind of interest. But I didn't, I don't want to say I didn't do it well because there was something I did right, but
mm-hmm. you got there them wasn't, on a mailing list.
Yeah. But there was no follow-up or this is how it's going to help you, or there wasn't any more language. It was like, first class free, great.
There was no class selling.
There was no selling at all. So
come, but like, also, we're not going to talk to you
again. Also, I don't know. And then I actually ended up taking that away for a long time to see like what to evaluate, to mm-hmm. see what worked and what didn't. Mm-hmm. And I actually just brought it back.
Nice.
Because I am specifically trying to create new, like bring in new people rather than focusing on like, what was that? Like I've shifted from not trying to sell to everyone to selling to what's new. Like I'm having a period of time where I'm doing just this thing, which is collecting new clients and seeing what happens when I actually foster them and speak to why they signed up and how I can help them.
Yeah.
Generating all those emails was the first class free and posting in those Facebook groups, first class free, come check us out.
Mm-hmm. And I think yoga teachers or studio owners too. And really everyone I talk to is like, I don't want to email them. And that'd be too salesy. Like I can't email them again and again to come into the studio. They would just walk in one day And it's like, have you ever shopped at Old Navy?
Yes.
They email you outrageously.
Oh, yeah. Old Navy doesn't give a fuck.
They do not care. And guess what? I still shop there.
I love Old Navy.
Like, their emails are not turning me away. If anything, it's like, oh, yeah, I need to buy my boys some new shirts or whatever.
I have on a full Old Navy outfit right now.
Oh, I love it. I didn't know that. That's funny.
Sports bra, tank top, and pants.
Honestly, their athletic stuff is solid. Mm-hmm. It's solid. Yeah. Okay, so we're Old Navy fans, but they're emailing you all the time. It reminds you to go in. You don't dislike them for emailing you. I mean, maybe sometimes you're like, delete, delete, delete. Fine. What do you, that's like the worst case scenario. Right. You delete their email. Yeah. But the ones you care about will have you open. Like, that's what I want everyone to hear is like, be Old Navy.
Be Old Navy. Yeah. Go. You know what else you said that was awesome? When people unsubscribed, it's just getting you closer to your yeses. It's just making your list cleaner.
Yeah. 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 And you do want a clean list.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the technology will start that works.
Yeah.
It'll start to tell the people who do want to hear what you have to say that it's spam. Like, you got to get people off your list. You got to clean that thing consistently.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's kind of wrap up. As we record this podcast, the Yoga Boss group is no longer. But the new course and membership is coming in just a few weeks. So if anyone is listening who's like, wow, that sounds, her story sounds similar to me, or like, I also have this problem or I also have this struggle, what would you tell those people about investing in the new course, the new membership? You're like, I don't even know what it is. So
No, I do know what it is. Of course I did. Are you kidding me? I was like, should I do this too? No, it's absolutely worth it. You would be insane not to. You have a structured, supported environment to walk you through all of the basic things that you need to efficiently run your business without having to figure out any of it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And it will, I mean, the return on it is, it's silly. It's so.
And will be even sillier.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Right. I'm so excited. But when you think about, like, when I think about sobriety, when I think about business, when I think about life, you have to do it with a community.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, like, let me open a studio and just do it by myself. Like, you need people to be like, I just sent a first class free email, but no one has come in yet. What do I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, someone to answer you.
And there's so much love, and there's no, like, there's no competition. There's just, mm-hmm. you're met with so much grace, and people really, like, we all really want to help each other in it.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, what about this? Ooh, what about, you know?
Try this, or I did this.
Yeah. You build relationships. Like, I'm friends with all the women mm-hmm. still, and we still communicate. Like,
I have to see all of you in person. I want to gather everybody.
Jackie, I'm driving a friend to Miami at the end of the month.
Oh, come stop.
I was thinking maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah,
if we're close. Awesome. But it's not even, it's an investment. You're not, it's an investment in everything that you're doing. It's just, I don't know. People would get mad at me. I'd be walking around, like, I'd be at meetings or whatever. And I'm like, I'd quote you in meetings. I'm like, well, my business coach says.
Isn't it nice though? Because you're like, well, someone else is saying this thing who knows what they're talking about. Amazing. Okay. Anything else that you would tell who listens to this podcast kind of runs the gamut? There's the person listening who's like in teacher training. There's a person who's just graduated. There's like a teacher who's been teaching for 20 years. There's a studio owner who's like 8K months at a studio. That's amazing. And there's a studio owner being like 50K months. Let's go.
Right.
So what would be, maybe you're like, this is so hard, but like your last little nugget of like wisdom, words, talking to these people who have the same mission as you to get yoga to more people in the world. What would you tell them?
Keep showing up like one day at a time with the same amount of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Like just keep showing up. That's it. You just keep showing up and doing the good work and like trust the process.
Yeah.
Because it works. We're the ones that like get in the way, you know?
Right. Right.
But as long as you keep showing up and you trust that what you want is going to work out and you believe in it, it will. That was so corny, but it's so true.
It's so true. And I was telling a client yesterday, I'm like, if all of my clients had the commitment of I'm going to post a very solid YouTube video selling their offer for 10 years, every week for 10 years, there is no way you're not successful. But what happens is we just are inconsistent and give up too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And my other thing would be if however much money you want to make, it's there for you. It's already waiting. Yeah,
right.
You said it. If you can picture it, it already has happened somewhere in the future. Like it's not, nothing is out of reach. If that's what you want to do, whether you're in teacher training or you want to scale to whatever, this process works the same way over and over again that you teach us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your next goal?
No. So I feel really clear about that. So,
yeah. Oh, good. I love it.
I mean, my final goal is to be the CEO of Weeby Yoga Studios and Schools. Yeah. But, so I feel like I finally have everything really organized and teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So starting to write that out and hopefully to launch, the beginning of like maybe spring of 2024. Yeah. And then hopefully maybe a second studio comes from that. We'll see.
Is it in person? Is it online? Both?
I think I'm going to go hybrid.
Hybrid. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So tell people listening where they can come take class or do a teacher training, how they can find you.
Yeah, totally. So you can catch us on Instagram at Weeby Yoga Studio. And you can check out the website, which is weebyyogastudio.com. And we are in Warrington, Pennsylvania. Right on the beautiful 611 highway. That's it. I hope you come check us out. Subscribe to our mailing list and I'll send you a free class.
She'll be like Old Navy. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if you email like that.
No, I'm totally like Old Navy.
Amazing. Okay, Heather, thank you so much for being here. Oh, and you guys,
thank you.
Go connect with her and I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye, y'all.
Bye.